Amen. How many believe God was in this room working in your life?
You believe it?
You may be seated. I want to teach you a small lesson and let you go. I don't even feel that there's much I need to say after that. I stand in awe of what God does. But there's this message behind this sermon that I need to cast out. Because there's something controversial about healing. And the controversy is, what is healing and how does it work? Now, I could spend so much time invested in this, but I will not. I want to do justice to your kindness and your search for God here. So what I'm going to try to do is articulate this through the power of the Holy Spirit so you could open up your understanding and have a shift. See, healing is controversial and the topic is controversial because depending on your atmosphere you grew around, you're going to react. There's this, one of our elders who's Nara and Noé, her son-in-law, have this custom of going up to a person and commanding sickness to go out of the body. And they command it. They say, sickness, leave now. Leave now. They were Baptist. I was Baptist. And I grew out of it because I realized that the denomination is not as powerful as being Christ-centered. Now, I'm not saying being Baptist is wrong. I'm not saying being Pentecostal is wrong. Today, I wore these sneakers, and I don't think they're wrong. I like them. But when I wore them, people have seen me come, you think you're 15? No, I know I'm 50. I'm just 50 and looking good. Pastor, you look like a fool dressing like Alex. I look sharper than Alex. What are you talking about? The visitors are thinking, oh my gosh, this guy has a higher concept of himself than he should, and that's unbiblical. No. See, God thinks I'm more than that. I just haven't reached the expectation of what God believes. My thing is that I stopped walking by what everybody around me tells me I'm supposed to be. And I started believing what God said I'm supposed to be. I don't know if you noticed, but I got big ears. Hey, that's hurtful. It don't hurt me. Why? I know my flaws, but I know who I am in Christ. And I know that this vessel is temporary. So I focus on who God says I am versus what everybody around me says I am. Then no matter what you say, I can't get hurt. Because no matter what you say, if it doesn't align with what God says, it don't matter. So what do I say? Don't worry. If you didn't learn any song today, take that one home. Pastor, where are you going? The misconceived notions that are in your head are based on the surroundings of your history, which are inevitable. And the way the people that were surrounding you indoctrinated you from your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, your grandpa, now your wife, your husband, and your kids will affect who you are. And that's inevitable. But you got to be careful that what you believe is not based on what they believe, but rather that you see the world through that lens of the scriptures. Because only the lens of the scripture have transpired time and not failed or ceased to exist. Oh, that's good stuff right there. See, there was something called Blockbuster once upon a time. But Blockbuster in 1 Carlos chapter 4 verse 9, it says, but Blockbuster was once there, but it has ceased to exist. If you're new in the church, saying, where is 1 Carlos? I just made that up. There is none in the Bible. Pastor, what does Blockbuster have to do with it? Things come and things go, but the Lord and His word remaineth forever and ever and ever. So the perspective I should have on healing and everything that surrounds me should be based on something that is stronger than Blockbuster or Google or a creed of faith from a church. It should be based on what the word says. And I should read it and understand that God walked around healing. When I first saw them do that, it didn't sit well with me. And I thought, who are they to command sickness out? I gotta be honest with you. The independent fundamental Baptist in me was like, I don't know. And I'm the most Pentecostal Baptist y'all ever meet. And I was like, I don't get it. Now, if you don't know who Nada is, that's okay. You will see her if you look from this height down. She's an elder about this high. And her son-in-law is about yay high also. Now, hold on. But their size and physical body doesn't even come close to the anointing of God inside of them. Noé was the minister that you guys saw doing the welcoming. So when he orders sickness out, he kind of struggled for a bit because I never heard of that. I never seen that. It never happened in my church. So I start questioning from a biblical standpoint, who are they to tell God what to do? Shouldn't they pray, God, if you can heal them? Then it hits me. Can God heal? Yes or no? When they asked God that, Jesus himself said, what do you mean, can I be healed? And they healed. Right, Pastor, but Nada and Noé are not God. No, by no means are they God. Then I read in the Bible, not Carlos's Bible, the Lord's word. I read how Jesus walked up into the room of Peter and his family, and his mother-in-law was sick. Now, that's a good God to heal a mother-in-law. If you're like, Pastor, I didn't get that. Don't worry about it. You just ain't met my mother-in-law. He puts his hand on her, and the Bible says he leans over and he rebukes the sickness in her. And the fever ceased to exist. So the only way you could justify not rebuking sickness, the only way you could justify it, is if you say what he casted out was a demon. But then you have to justify the fever. And if you say that the fever had to do with the demon, you're saying that a demon takes control of a believer's body. I have problems with that. Because I believe that there is no demon greater than the power of God. So when he rebuked it, he casted it out and he gave authority. Now you say, Pastor, that's Jesus, right? Then he turned to the disciples and he told them, go cast out demons and heal the sick. Now the problem we're having with this, this is good stuff. I'm going too far, but this is good. The problem we're having now is that now everybody thinks that they should walk around with the gift of healing. I didn't get a lot of amen, you Pentecostals. See, James chapter 5 verse 16 says, confess and pray for each other so that you may be healed. It says to confess and to pray and you will receive healing to each other. So I should go up to Nathaniel and say, Nathaniel, I have a sin in my life. I have a problem in my life. And we should pray and I receive healing. I should go up to him and say, I have sickness, and we pray together and I heal. We pray for each other. But that doesn't mean that I should go up to him thinking that he's a healer. Because the healer ain't no man. The healer is God who is in heaven, who manifests himself through the Holy Spirit. But here's the conflict in that. Pastor, what is it? Everybody says, well, wait a minute. I'm going to pray for healing. Well, you go and pray for healing, but understand that when you're praying for healing, get somebody to pray for you because you're pretty messed up yourself. So there's nothing wrong with praying The Bible says to grab, if somebody's sick amongst you, go to the who? And ask him to take oil and anoint you with oil. So, Pastor, you think not everybody should be praying? No, I think everybody should be praying for healing. Just don't think that you're the healer. Doesn't work. No, I know it's Jesus. I just pray for everybody because I... No, no. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, let's correct this doctrinally. It says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. You're the body. And there's a lot of parts. There's arms, and there's feet, and there's legs, and there's hands. Verse 30 says, do all have the gift of healing? Does everybody in this room? I'm a believer and I can heal. So everybody has the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? He's saying, do you all? He says, that's ridiculous. It'd be like if everybody here was a hand or everybody was a foot. We'd have no head. You can't. The body of Christ is going to get composed of a lot of stuff. And there will be people who have the gift of healing received by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives them and empowers them with the gift to heal. And listen, Pastor, how do I know if they have the gift of healing? Here's a quality. I'm going to give you a cheat sheet. How I know people have the gift of healing. They never say they have the gift of healing. If somebody walks around, come over here because I have the gift of healing. People who have the gift are people who know that gifts come to you for the edification of the body of Christ, not for yourself, not for your glory, but for the glory of God. So you pray for healing and let thy will be done, God. See, healing is not so much about a physical, emotional, or spiritual thing. It's more about how you can trust God, how you believe God. Look, I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to show you the best example when I'm out of your hair. Look, John chapter 5, verse 3 in the pool of Bethesda. They were taking all paralytics there and all sick people were there. And the Bible says in John 5, 3, here a great number of disabled people used to lie. They were there. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. Let the blind see. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. Verse 4, okay. And then he goes, I'm going to go to the next verse. Watch. I'm going to jump because of time. I'm going to jump. Look at this. Verse 5. One who was there had been invalid. One who was there had been invalid for 38 years. Now, I want everybody to look at that verse for a second. Is it on screen here? One who was there had been invalid. This guy is what, church? He's broken. He's sick. People who need healing, for those, and I don't have time to teach this book because I don't have time to teach you here, but I'm going to give you a quick bit. Healing, Rapha, for those jotting down, Rapha in Bible, Rapha is the word in Hebrew, means to restore, staude, Latin, staude. You take something and you bring it back to its condition. I was in the Garden of Eden and I was eternal. When I got saved, I was healed. Why? Because God has returned me to an eternal life. Now when I die, I'm going to go to God. So I am healed. Every blood-washed believer who has given their life to Jesus Christ, you have already received healing, believe it or not. Just because you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you are redeemed from your sins, you have been washed, and you are healed. Can I get believers to say amen? So this guy was also broken. He had lost his condition. When I have a sickness, a year ago, a day like today, or a week ago, I cracked my sternum and I broke it, and it hurt for almost 7 months. And I had lost my condition. I wasn't right. So the Bible's saying this man is invalid. Now, when we read the word invalid, some Bible versions say he was paralytic. He couldn't walk. He had a condition. Now, that condition wasn't for a year or two. It was for how long, guys? How long? I don't know about you, but being sick for a week is hard. My wife, who's here today, went through a horrible sickness. It was really hard. It was one of the biggest breaking moments of my life. I tell her all the time. It's not a romantic thing. I love her now more than I used to love her. People are like, I'm losing my love for my wife. I know what's happening. There's a lot of reasons. But you want a real wake-up call? Go through 4 years of sickness and then see her be restored. I was at a point that my wife sometimes, not always, gives me her opinion. And her opinion ain't always my opinion. How do you think I look right now, honey? Approved? Because she always has an opinion on my clothes. Not for bad, but for good. But to a guy, it's for bad. It's like, yo, I don't care, man. Like, I ain't gonna come out here on a Speedo or anything like that, but like, I don't care how I look, but my wife takes care of me. So she nags. I mean, she gives her opinion. And let me bear with this for a second, because I know there's a lot of women, I can hear Chassie going, ha, like, he's in trouble. No, you just felt identified with what I'm saying because you do it to your husband. And it's a whole mobile board game. Now watch this. I'm preaching. Success is about to get ministered and fall in the spirit. Right? So here. No. Hold on. I know you guys. It's funny because in iChurch, we don't want the sermons in the service to finish. We want them to be extended, but we got to get it done. Now watch this. So where I'm going with this is that there's an opinion that she could have. And it's important to me. When she was sick, and I get emotional when I talk about this, so I'm not going to go there. There was a moment that I wanted her to, there's this image, vivid image in my brain, where she's laying in bed and can't get out of bed, and she made a cross out of wood. She asked me to make her a cross out of wood, and I made her a little cross out of wood. I know it sounds a little bit Catholic, but hold on, man, just hold on for a second. Right? She had a little cross, and she held it on her chest, and she wrote, she made me take my grinder and grind one side so she could write a verse on it. I don't know what it said, but she would hold it. And I remember going to the room. It was kind of scary because it's like, you know, when you put a person in a casket, it was like she was laying in bed and I would get dressed for church and she couldn't come to church because she couldn't get out of bed. She couldn't walk. She could barely walk. And I remember going up to her and saying, I wanted to ask her how I looked. But she was in so much pain, she couldn't focus on that. What I dreaded before, now I desired. Weird, because nobody knows what you have until you. So I sat there and she was invalid for 38 years. Now, my wife went through it 4 years, and it seemed like it was eternal. Anybody who's ever taken care of a sick person knows what I'm talking about. We go to the hospital and we see the person in the bed and we're like, oh my gosh, you need healing. And we never think about the person sitting next to them is probably hurting as much as the person in the bed. The problem is that when this hurt seems visibly further than this one, you don't realize it. But they're both hurting the same, maybe even worse. Pastor, that's not true. Be careful. Because a heart that goes bad goes through surgery. If it's physical, but if it's emotional, until Jesus Christ doesn't come down and heal it himself, that heart could destroy your mind and your body worse than a heart attack. This guy was invalid for 38 years. Verse 6. Oh, thank you, God. Now, this is controversial. Here's where it gets controversial. Ready? When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him what did he ask him? Now let me just take an example for a second. Okay, this is cruel. It's very cruel what I'm about to do. It's very cruel. Okay, Linda, it's people close to you that love you like we do in the pastoral team. We know you've gone through a lot of physical conditions lately. Is it true or not true? And you've hurt and you've been hospitalized and we've had really bad news and we almost lost you this past year. You were in the deathbed, literally. Like, there was a miracle of God. And on my notes it says, speak to the public. And Chino says, who are you speaking to? I said, I don't know. The Spirit will tell me. But the Spirit told me that there's a sick woman. You guys are not seeing it right now, and it is cruel, but she's in the front row crying. You're like, Pastor, why would you do this? I'm hoping that you open up your eyes and realize what reality is. And when you read the word, you read it for how powerful it really is. And stop playing Christian in the wrong place. If I asked you right now, do you want to be healed? Now, don't give me your answer. Who here, come over here for a second. Stand here just for a second with me, okay? I want you to stand right beside me. put my arm around your wife for a second with much respect. Okay. When you were in bed laying down and your blood got all messed up and you were about to die, and now a while back you've had episodes and all these thoughts come to your mind. Now don't answer. If I asked you, don't answer, okay? Don't. Do you want to be healed? To make the Bible real, everybody in this room who thinks that that question is stupid because this woman wants to be healed, and you say, Pastor, this woman wants to see God, to love on her husband and her children and serve God's purpose, raise your hand. It's almost obvious, right? So now I'm going to let you sit back down and watch this message, Linda. Pastor, you didn't pray for her healing. What happened? When Jesus asked, do you want to be healed? It's almost contradictory to his nature. He walked around healing everybody. The guy had been laying there for 38 years. Linda, this year and the last years have gone through tough situations. This woman, Linda, was sick. Linda, listen, this man was sick for 38 years with your condition. 38. Lying down, not being able to walk. I'm not trying to underestimate Linda's sickness or my wife or anybody else here who's going through sickness. What I'm trying to say, it may be depression, it may be anger, it may be, I don't know what it is, but listen, this guy lived whatever you're living, 38 years. This man suffered and he couldn't move. When you're suffering, sometimes you go a long time that you can't move, because that's what sickness does to you. It'd be emotional, physical, spiritual. When you're sick, you can't move. This guy was stuck. And Jesus asks him a question in front of everybody. It is, do you want to get healed? Now, when he asked this question, it's complicated to explain why he would answer it. But I'm going to tell you why I think he asked it. Because if I could answer this question, you're going to understand healing like you've never understood it before. It's going to blow your mind away. When he asked him, do you want to be healed? He asks him, because you're not understanding healing, because you're reading the verse the wrong way. What, Pastor? Go to verse 5. Before he asks him, do you want to be healed? You read, one who was there had been an invalid. And you focus on invalid. He can't walk. So when he says that he did that for 38 years, you think about invalid 38 years. You're focusing on the wrong part if you read the scripture right. Why? What you need to focus on, the reason Jesus asked him the question, verse 6, the reason he asked him is because when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked, do you want to get hit? Do you want to get well? Pastor, I don't get it. Look at verse 6 and read it again. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been there in this condition for a long, in this what? Pastor, what condition? Invalid? No. Because if not, it would have read, go back. What the Bible verse would have read in verse 5 is, once one who was there and had been invalid for 30 years, when Jesus saw his condition, it would have stopped right there in invalid. But that's not. It would have been right here. It would have been right here. Pastor, what are you saying? Jesus doesn't ask him because Jesus wants to heal him of being paralyzed. That condition is not compared to the worst condition he has that needs more healing. Pastor, and what is it? Verse 6. Go to verse 6 and watch this. When Jesus saw him lying there, stuck, and learned that he had been in this condition. What condition? Lying there. And he had done that for a long time. Jesus asks him, do you want to be healed? Because Jesus doesn't understand why the guy has spent 38 years. How? This is what Jesus is realizing. That his physical paralysis, his external condition, has killed his internal condition. He gave up. He's just lying there for 30 years. I don't know if your external condition is killing the internal person. You are a woman of God. But you got to be careful. You don't find yourself 38 years stuck. That's why Jesus asks him, do you want to be healed? Now the man knows what he's talking about. The man understands Jesus. He didn't doubt it. Pastor, why? What Jesus is really saying, and this is the way we would read it, contemporary, Jesus would say, hey, you've been here for 38 years. You're sitting here. What's wrong? And he should have answered, well, it's my legs. I'm paralyzed. But he knows that Jesus is not referring to his physical legs only. Jesus is saying, why the heck have you allowed yourself to become so degraded in your spiritual and emotional condition and what happens around you to limit the potential of what God has in you? What I'm trying to say is that he should have been there for 38 years paralyzed, praising and worshiping God and believing that at some time his healing was going to come. He should have been testifying to the people around him. He was paralyzed. He wasn't deaf and mute. He should have been there paralyzed. And what Jesus is expecting is for him to sit there paralyzed saying, the healer's in this place, the healer. What he's expecting is that in 38 years, he does what the woman that had the blood issue did, that he drag himself all the way. And it's good. See, the woman had a blood flow problem and she could have drained in blood all the way to Jesus. But she didn't care because she said, I'll take what I have, even if it's just a little bit, but I'm gonna keep on fighting because I believe God could do what he does in his due time. It's not here yet. Oh, I'm speaking to somebody, but it's coming on its way. Do I have anybody believing? Does anybody in this room believe that God is on his way to do what he promised in your life and that he's gonna fulfill it regardless of circumstance? Okay. Wait.
Why? A lot of y'all got it, but some of you are in verse 7.
This is you.
Sir, I have no one to help me. When did you become a beggar? See, the condition of the paralyzed man physically compared nothing to the paralyzed spirit he was living in. He was waiting for somebody to help him into the pool. I have never seen a champion who is waiting for somebody to help him. Champs fall down and you could get discouraged and hurt. I'm not criticizing you. I've been there. But at some point, you got to wake up when you see a Puerto Rican 50-year-old pastor speaking English with awesome sneakers on the altar. And you look at him and say, if this isn't the message for me, I don't know where I'm going to get it. But you got to understand that you become paralyzed physically. And God doesn't want you paralyzed emotionally or spiritually or in your marriage. God doesn't want it over your finances.
I ain't got nobody to write me a check. My bank account is empty, Pastor. I ain't got nobody. Stop waiting for somebody to write you a check. Start trusting that instead of you waiting for somebody to write you a check, you praise God and watch God open up the doors of heaven and pour upon you all the abundance you need. You got to trust God. You got to trust God. I said you got to trust God. Can somebody shout amen on that one?
I ain't got no one to put me in the pool. I ain't got no one. And when the water is stirred, while I'm trying to get in, uh-oh.
Now here's the other excuse. Somebody beats me. You know why? Because some of you are stuck complaining, waiting for somebody else to pull you out of your spot. Other of you are moving.
He beat me. He beat you because you're too slow to react.
You're like, I'm going to make an effort.
That's not what it should be about. See, if I jump, Bali, give me the next one. If I jump and I go to the next verse, I want you to see what Jesus told him.
I love it. Woo! Jesus looks at him and said to him, get up! Get up!
I think he said it with a Granite Falls accent.
Get her up! Get her up!
If he was Puerto Rican like me, Puerto Rican American, he'd be like, Vamos, levántate, get up, bro. What's up with you, man? Come on. You know, because we're hostile. Like, you stupid, man, just get up. But that's Jesus. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus is more loving than me. He looks at him and says, get up. And here's what he says. Oh, and by the way, when you get up, don't just get up, but bend back down and pick up your mat and keep on walking, baby. You got to keep on walking. I said you got to keep on. I don't know who I'm talking about. I need at least 100 believers in this room that'll get up and say, you know what? God, it's time to get up. You've been sitting too long. You've been thinking about it. Does anybody, can you get up? Can you get up? Can you stand to your feet and can you put your hands together and praise God and believe that God's going to take care of you? Get up, 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 get up. So right there where you are, I got so much more, but watch, right there where you are, stay right there, I'm gonna let you go home. Pastor, why you bring this? Because of verse 14. What happened in verse 14? This was the real problem. This is why I know the story so well, because I don't have to guess. Later, Jesus found the guy again. Woohoo! The guy was worshiping right in the house of God. The guy was living for God. The guy was praising. The guy had it all right, right? He was doing what you did. He got up, right? Right? No. Read it. There's a portion nobody preaches about, man. Later, Jesus found him at the temple. Oh, he was in the house of God. Oh, he was in the house of God. But was he in the house of God? Ah, oh, nobody's cheering anymore. No, I already prayed for healing. He was in the house of God, but was he in the house of God? He found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. I see you've been healed, you've been restored. And then he tells him, stop what? Or something may happen to you. Pastor, what are you saying? You know when your healing really comes? Your healing will really come to you when you understand that even though he heals you now, you're gonna die or it's gonna get hurt again tomorrow. Because the Bible says very clearly, oh God, you guys don't have this one, but the Bible says, give me a second, you productive, you don't have this one, but it's all right. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on into completion. He will finish the work. He will complete it. Now hold on before you applaud. He will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Pastor, what does it mean? Until God doesn't return theologically, you are going to suffer and you are going to get healed and get another sickness. Pastor, what are you saying? That's terrible. Why would you say that? I believe I'm supposed to be healed and everything. No. What I'm saying is until Christ comes back, we will live in a sinful world where our bodies will decay and we'll get sick. He could heal you today and you tomorrow could die. So Pastor, what are you saying? That God won't heal? No, I believe God will heal. I believe he has so much mercy and grace on us that he wants you to live a restored life, and he may heal you from anything, and there's nothing off the grid for him. But what I want you to understand is that before you desire any other healing in your body, learn to give God glory with your condition, because when you're able to give God glory in your condition and praise God no matter your circumstance, that's faith. And faith is, I'm gonna worship God, I'm gonna praise God, I'm gonna live for God. I got it or I ain't got it, I'm gonna pray. Can anybody praise God right now for what you got? Awkward moment now. Pastor, why? Because the service finished. Can't do an altar call. Already did that. So what do? I tell you that until Christ doesn't return, you have come to church today and I have educated you on the process of healing. True healing is when in your soul, in your body, and in your spirit, you do this. My will, my way, God, let thy will be done. Your grace is sufficient.